Good afternoon, everyone. I see my friend Dave over there. As you know, this is the time when we have someone witness to their faith before Mass begins. And you've heard a number of people speak to us about their faith in Jesus Christ. And you'll never guess whose turn it is now. Yeah. So if I expect you to do it, then I need to do it too. So get nice and relaxed. I'm not sure how long this will be, but here we go. Is anybody here old enough to remember before the underpass was? Anybody? A few. Well, we used to live there. Before the underpass was built, it was at the bottom of a hill. My family lived there. My dad's parents lived on the hill. Then the city expropriated us to build the underpass. But up until then, we were going to Blessed Sacrament Parish. But then we had to change parishes. But interestingly enough, living in this rectory over here was a priest called Father Jackman. Anybody remember him? We all remember him. Well, he was commissioned at that time by the bishop to start a new parish called St. Gregory's. So Father Jackman found my parents a house on Sherbourne Street. So we became members of St. Veronica's Parish, and the original church was a basement. See, old people like me. So I made my first communion at St. Gregory's in the basement church, and later on they built the upper church, and I did my confirmation, etc. I was the fourth of six children. There were 9 years between me and my youngest brother and sister. My oldest brother and sister...
Is your mic on? We can't hear you at the back.
I don't have my mic.
I know.
Turn your hearing aids on.
I can't afford one yet.
Okay. I thought I had good voice. Okay, I'll turn my PA on. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. So we were at St. Gregory's confirmation. I was the fourth of six children, 9 years between me and the next two. Well, I always loved going to church. I always had a really positive relationship with Jesus, but my older brothers and sisters didn't want to go to church. But my parents said, you have to go to church, and the way you prove it is you bring a bulletin home after every Sunday. They paid me to bring one for them. It worked only for a short while. Then I felt guilty. Then I don't remember what happened. As a young boy, I was involved in all kinds of youth ministry at St. Gregory's. Father John Macaroni, you remember, who was a priest there. He was very influential in my life as a young person. And it was that time that I began to feel God's call in my life. But I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to go and build bridges and houses and all that kind of thing. I never wanted to become a priest because I never felt that I was worthy to become a priest. And you know what God said to me? He said, you're right. You're not worthy to be a priest. But the issue isn't whether you're worthy or not. The issue is, am I calling you to be a priest? And so through a process which I called drinking sweet poison, I said yes to God. Sweet because it was God's will. Poison because it meant I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I had to do what God wanted to do. I didn't mention to you at the beginning that I came from a family that had issues with addiction and mental health. So in my teenage years, I was very involved in the church, and I decided to go away out west to become a priest as a Franciscan. The year I left to go out west, my brother committed suicide, the brother that was closest to me. Devastating for a family to experience a death of a person. And my parents always said, no one should be able to bury a child, you know. But my parents were very faithful. We always went to church. The strength that came from them and their faith was what carried us through. After I went away for studies, hey, we're halfway through. Oh, by the way, I was ordained at St. Gregory's in 1980 by Bishop Papin. Anybody remember him?
Yes.
He only ordained two priests. One was his nephew, and one was me. And I'm the only one left. Yeah. So I went out west, and I was stationed in Saskatchewan, Alberta, on Vancouver Island. And it was on Vancouver Island that I started becoming a daily drinker. I couldn't get through a day without having a drink of alcohol. That went on for a few years, and I got transferred to Edmonton, where I had two parishes. I had three priests working under me. I had two secretaries, four pastoral workers. Everything was going fine until Easter of 2085. What did I say? Oh. Yeah. Told you I was old. 1985, Easter of 1985. It was Easter, and I was preaching about how God can free us from the bonds of sin, from the chains that bind us. And guess what happened? God swore at me. I can't even repeat what he said in mixed company, but the last word was hypocrite. You hypocrite, how can you preach to other people about being free when you yourself are addicted, hook, line, and sinker? I asked for help then. Went away to a treatment program, came out and asked to come back home to the Sioux. That's when I went to St. Gregory's, went to Blind River, Espanola, back to Blind River, then St. Joseph the Worker, and now St. Veronica's. But in the meantime, when I was in Blind River for the second time, things were getting pretty bad, and I was diagnosed with minor long-term depression. And so I was under medication for about 10 years. But that didn't cure it, that didn't fix it, until a few years ago I asked to be reassessed, and you'll never guess what I was diagnosed with. You'll never, maybe you will guess, but any guesses? Bipolar, no. ADD. Attention Deficit Disorder. And you want to know a funny thing? You guys have benefited from that for years. All of my ministry, people have been saying, your homilies, they're so short, they're sweet, to the point, whatever. But whenever anyone would ask me, say, well, I could not give a long one because I could not remember more than three things. That's part of what ADD is about. So there are some benefits to ADD. So under medication with that now, things are much better. All through my ministry, I have had challenges with people who have gone through disasters, from murder, people being murdered, to all kinds of disasters. And people are saying, well, how could God allow such things to happen? How could a loving God allow such tragedies to be? And for me, I always pointed to the cross. Because the question we ask ourselves is, how much God has loved us that he sent us his only son to suffer and die for out of love for us. When we join our pain and suffering to his, it becomes bearable. It becomes livable. My sabbatical experience about 3 or 4 years ago, I had a reawakening, and maybe you could have told that after I came back, that things are much more positive for me. And to put things in a nutshell, there's lots I could say, is that in terms of my faith, I'm in love. I am in love with God. He is the one that calls each and every one of us to enter deeply into a relationship with him. I'm excited about it. If you've ever been in love, you know what it's like. He calls us to that same relationship, to being in love with the one who has loved us beyond our wildest imagining. And so being able to witness to God's life in my life is important to anyone who wants to learn and grow. It's important for all of us to be able to share our life experience with the life of faith that God has given us. The church's mission is to evangelize, to go out and spread the word about Jesus Christ. That doesn't belong just to me. That doesn't belong just to those who have witnessed so far. It belongs to everyone who is a believer. And with that, I will leave you with that. Let us take a moment of quiet before we have Mass today. Mm-hmm.